Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Push Nevada. I'm hosting tonight's show for the Leslie Gish Show. Tonight we have a very, very interesting guest. Her name is Tanya Ellington, and she's going to talk to us about her, I don't know if you want to call it a one-woman crusade, but she's out to stop people from cursing. Tanya, are you there?
I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening. You know, I come from, I'm like a victim of a cursing household, right? Born and raised
right.
in a cursing household, and like many people. So explain to me what your mission is and help me in my own quest and journey to stop cursing.
Sure. Good evening to everyone and your listeners just the same. This is a ministry I've come to understand it much better after it was spiritually birthed to me in 2005. As I was waking up one morning, God said, "Stop cussing." And I was like, "Lord, what are you talking about, stop cussing?" And he said, "Tell my people, their tongues are very powerful, what they speak will come to pass." And from that point on, he's just been giving me visions on what to do and how to deliver the message, even though we already know it's in the Word. And unfortunately,
okay.
so many of our parents and adults and so forth have continued to miss that scripture and allowing our children to speak it as if it's their first language. And we all are victims of it. So no one is exempt from it. It's just that at this point in time that we're living in, our youth are using it as if it's their first language, and there's no respect for elders, nor space, nor environment at any time.
Okay, so this is really a deeply spiritual crusade. You know, you're invoking the Word and talking about God and Jesus, and you've had a vision, et cetera, some kind of divine intervention. But tell me, how do you think cursing began? I don't know. Do you know anything about the roots and history? Is it a socioeconomic thing? Is it a black folk thing? Is it a white folk thing? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, being that I didn't look at it as it's not a race thing, so we have to take that off the line because everybody speaks it from every race. They just speak it in a different language. But from what my understanding, what I have grown to understand because of the way God had led it for me to be, I mean for me to deliver it to everyone, is that it's more of a blessing and a cursing without tongues being so powerful. And we
okay.
are not wise in how we speak. And the words upon what it is that we speak is cursing each other when we're using the type of language that we're using. It's not a blessing
okay.
at all. Mm-hmm. So we literally have to listen to how we speak to each other, especially when we do choose to use the profanity, the energy that flows behind it, and the reactions that we get from it, even in a casual conversation. You know, you may be talking to someone, your friends, and then all of a sudden y'all just get into a back and forth profanity match, and not even realizing that you're doing it, and see the tension and the emotion and the feeling that you're getting from it, opposed to just speaking without use of profanity at all.
Okay. You know, this is interesting because we've heard all kind of, you know, moratoriums, particularly on the word nigger. I can say that. This is blog radio, right? I can say anything. And I want to talk about that for a minute, but not too often do, or I've never heard anybody talk about stopping people from cursing. It was very interesting. But let's talk about that for a minute, the N-word. Jesse Jackson... Jesse Jackson talked about burying the N-word, and then he called Obama the N-word and talking about cutting off his scrotum, right, his testicles or whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we have to, as a people, have to remember
First of all, hold on. Let me back up for a minute. Do you even consider the N-word a curse word?
I consider it a derogatory. I believe it's like it's related to profanity.
Right.
That's one of the one of our slogans that we utilize. That's actually in one of a book that we was blessed to be in with Terry McMillan, Piru Guru, PR Guru Terry Williams. And I noted that the N word is related to profanity because if you listen to it again after it, they normally use the profanity behind it. Now with Jesse Jackson and those that wanted to stop and bury the N word, we have to first stop it ourselves. We have to stop being buffoons and saying, okay, you got to stop this, you got to stop this. What our mission, what I have again grown to understand, what God has placed with me to do with the Stop Cussing campaign / ministry, is to get people aware of their speech and how they are speaking. And what Jesse said was wrong. What anyone that's using the N-word, it's just wrong. There is no love behind that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to really have to come up. I'm sorry?
So how are you going about this? I know it's a ministry, but how do you, what's the name of your ministry, and how does your ministry reach out to people? How do you engage the community to encourage people to stop cursing? How do you do that?
Sure. We had two divisions of it. It was first the No Curse Tour, spelt with the C-U-R-S-E, and that consists of me going out. It actually supposed to have been done another way, but God said I had to do it a different way because the attention that we were getting was not what the ministry was called for. So many people wanted to.
Hold on. What kind of attention were you getting?
Everybody wanted recognition, you know, wanted to just be in front of a microphone and cameras, and that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what we were looking for because we said the way God has it, it's about truth. And those that knew of me of coming with this ministry, I said from the beginning, if you don't have the touch of faith of God in you, you can't touch this. This is not about man getting recognition and self-gratification. It's not about getting money. This has been self-financed. I'm grateful that God has given me finances to do what you are able to see, which from the press releases to the handouts to giveaways of T-shirts to I just did a health fair at a high school, which I've done health fairs, PTA meetings, board meetings from New York to South Carolina, now North Carolina, which we did it's actually known across the world. And it got us known across the world so that we have someone from the West Coast, which I won't mention at this time, that has gained national attention. And when we first came across them, our mouths dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again,
Go ahead.
So what I do is I am the one woman doing what God has placed to do. So my camp is God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And then when he dictate to me as to who you should get or who you should talk to. That's what I do. Because, again, our community and with our children are failing. The elders are not answering the calls. The only answer they're calling is that these children are hopeless. These children are out of control. But elders are looking in the mirror at themselves and say, okay, what am I doing wrong? I am one person. However, and I'm a single mother to one, but I'm a mother to all these children, to the faces that I see from the time I've been doing the workshops, the times I do in-class workshops, as well as health fairs. So I'm in the community as much as I possibly can be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only one person.
Sure, I understand. You said that and correct me if I'm wrong, you're really trying to reach out to the children. But do you minister to adults as well? Because after
definitely.
All, you talk.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, definitely. But you know what? Our adults, actually, I had, when I did the event in Charlotte, North Carolina on the 30th, and I had it was a three generation, the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. And I had a couple of handouts on my table as my display. And the mother just ignored my purpose for being there, but she seen something on one of my handouts said, casting call. So she was like, said to her daughter, casting call. And she said, oh, this is for you. I said, no, it's actually for you. Because if she would have read it, she would have read that we're calling grandmothers, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, preachers, and you. She thought it may have been a casting call for a film, music video, or whatever the case may be. But answering your question, our adults, our parents, are running from the truth.
Which is?
Which is they don't want to accept responsibility and be held accountable. Because they'll say, well, my child is doing this because, you know, this is just the fade now. No, it's not. Stop looking for someone from the outside your community to do what you're supposed to be doing in-house. It only takes 1 hour, and this is something that I speak to adults to when they come in my passing, if I'm at a workshop or wherever, even just in general and talking. We have to, if we could take 1 hour a month in our own community to get the kids together, granted, it's not the way it was when we were growing up, but we still are held accountable for what we are not doing for our children and our future leaders. On becoming just as productive as we have become, and even to feel confident in themselves to know I can be something without using profanity, watching how I speak. You know, I've heard from, I'm not saying to nobody, nothing to anyone's child because then the parent is going to come at me. So what? I had done that. And yes, the parent came at me and I knew how to handle it because I'm not going to go back and talk the same words that were spoken to me. Don't get it twisted. I have used it. I was a cusser wreck. So again, God ain't going to give you something that you have not experienced, but the reason why I became a cusserette was when I was in the music industry, being a woman. Not that it was, it's true. It's because that's the only way they understood you, especially if you was a woman that knew your business. So even though it's a man's business, man's world, however, we still have a place, and we still have to stand up for respect.
Right.
And that's what's lacking.
Let me ask you this. What do you say to a person who encounters a cursing child and they want to talk to them? How should a person engage that situation? For instance, I was at the movies the other day and some kids were behind me before we were waiting on the movie to start. They were cursing and doing their thing, and it really disturbed me and my girlfriend. And you know, what do you say to a child you encounter who's cursing? I mean, whether you're a school teacher or just somebody on the street, or what do you do?
What did someone do to you when they corrected you? They first listen to what's going on. We have to learn how to stop talking at our children, start talking to them because they're so used to authority talking at them. So the feeling that you and your girlfriend received as you were sitting in front of the cussing youngsters behind you, you just sat there and allowed them to continue on to serve in your space, knowing it was affecting your spirit, and you really couldn't enjoy yourself, or you just turn around and say, you know, and learn how to speak to each other, because, again, it goes back to talking to and talking at. And you could have turned around and said politely, or at, you know, sometimes you got to go down to their level, and that's how I am. I'm a true person. I can go down to their level, into their cipher, and start talking and let them see I am true. I am that one that will talk to you and say, listen, it's not polite. It's not polite to speak those words in an open forum. Yes, you have freedom of speech. And please, no, we are not trying to tell people, no, you can't say this with the freedom of speech. That is not what it's about. It's based on respect. So, again, when you turn around, if you could have turned around and said something like politely, like, you know what, or strike up a conversation, you know what, why is it that you use profanity so much? Ask the question. And they'll tell you, because just like you said, you was in a cursing environment growing up. So they tend to become an example from what they hear. And because no one has been pulling their coattails for so long, it becomes the norm. It's like walking in the street today, I see the difference on as respect that as a grown woman, not getting from a grown man, because their mindsets are not set today on the priorities, integrity, and all the great stuff that we have been raised to be. It has become so the mode of a selfishness that I don't care where I'm at. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. And everybody is doing it. So what? No, everybody is not doing it.
So for you, for you, it's about the village. It takes a village to raise a child, and we all have a responsibility to engage the children.
Definitely. The village fell asleep. That goes back to me saying before. Why we have to wait for somebody from the outside of our community to come in? Celebrities get paid to come into your community and do fundraisers and so forth. Where is that money going? Our children are aching for food. A lot of them don't even have shelters. A lot of them living in shelters. A lot of them going from home to home. And we have the audacity to act as if we can't do for our own but complain. You keep talking about the problem, but no one, they talk about the solution, but no action behind it. I'm sick and tired of so many organizations that has the 501c status, but the 501c is going into that 501,000 into their own bank accounts. Our children are failing. It's failing some of our communities. First, it starts at home to begin with, so let me track that back.
Sure.
It starts at home. The community is within the space that we live in, from your neighbors to your neighbor across the street to the bodega on the corner to the record shop to the seven-letter liquor store. Everybody plays a part, to the school system.
I guess that was my next question, which was the spectrum of your ministry and how you reach out to people. Because kids are being fed those types of nasty languages and offensive languages through TV, rap, music, video, everything. Do you think or do you see your ministry reaching out to talk to those kind of people, the rap community or music moguls or whatever? Do you see your ministry reaching that far?
Oh, it has already. I'm also in the music industry. Been in the music industry since 1986. So, again, I speak among my peers, you know, and, again, so many people, they're running for the wrong reason, that's money. But they don't realize, which they will soon, that whatever they do is going to flow into their children. So that's, again, how we forget that it's not about us because it's going to affect. It's going to affect our children and their children. So with the music that from my era is that we had, you know, the old school. I'm old school. So we had with Afro-Bambaataa and Kool Herc of being the pioneers of the culture, which is so much misinformation for our kids to learn about the culture of hip-hop. Just the same upon what I had a show that was called Icons, Legends of Hip-Hop that I encouraged to teach the kids their true culture, not what they're seeing on TV today. Being a former dancer myself, you know, we were dancing because we loved what we did. Today, there's no love in what people do. We were sweating the brow and didn't care what we look like. Today, they have us being tricked that if we go into the shoe store, you have to buy those 5- and 8-inch heels. That is not a dancer.
Right.
So we have, everything has been, if I can say, I guess it's the proper term, perverted from what is what the true content of things were meant to be. It has been perverted. And again, as I speak in a simple term, everything is biblical.
Okay.
So again,
so,
like we know. Mm-hmm.
No, no, go ahead.
So again, it's again, you know, most of us was raised, had God fearing in our family. We was raised about going to church. Even if you didn't want to go, you got tugged to church.
Mm-hmm.
There was the respect of knowing that there's someone greater than you. Today,
yes.
I guess we can count on our hands in just a family of 50 on the block, maybe out of them 55 is going to church. And those that are going, spirits are still not being fed because the church leaders themselves not doing what they're supposed to do. So, again, they have a part to play.
Sure, sure. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about money and it influencing the entertainment industry, particularly rock music. How does your ministry function? Do you solicit funding? Do you
no?
Because
no,
you said
I,
that earlier.
I'm self-financed. It was coming out of my own money. No one's giving me anything except for GOD providing for me to do his work. Because again, like I said, I feel like this as I was growing into this ministry. That I'm like, okay, Lord, what is it that you have me? What is your purpose? And if the purpose is, he wants me to help feed the souls that are not being fed properly. I, too, is growing. As I was growing up, going to church, and I was called at a young age, I know I'm a prophet. I don't have to have the title. And I don't have to be in somebody's church. He has me out in the field working with those
mm-hmm.
that are not going to church and those that are still going to church that's not being fed properly.
Mm-hmm.
Being self-financed is the best thing for me to do at this time that I know he has me doing because not all that other stuff coming in. When God gives you something to do, you got to protect it like it's your child. That's your baby. You got to be careful on who you allow to talk through it, who you allow to speak over it, who you allow to walk into it. So that's why, you know, I don't have a problem to do what I'm doing because, again, it's not about me. I'm only following direction. So even when I speak of that, I'm still questioning, well, how are you still getting money? What part do I have to say it again? It's not about the money. That's what they want us to believe. You have to be doing this in order to be doing this. No, you do not. I could have made it into a 501C. It's not meant to be made into a 501C because it's not about the money. Because there it goes again with the system into your ministry. That's where a lot of reasons why organizations and churches are the position that they're in now. Because of the reason of the money, misusing it the wrong way instead of doing the right thing by the people, by God's children. The shepherd is not leading the flock properly. And you can look in the eyes of those that are following you and God and giving you a step to step on so that they can see you. And you up there talking about, oh, I love God, but then turn around and you hating on this one. You can't even talk to your own family member. Come on now. We have a problem. If our own family member's not doing the right thing by their own members, by showing by a good example, still stating that we're not perfect. So let's make that clear. We all make errors. But this is not an error that we're going through right now.
Mm-hmm. What types of communities do you reach out to? When I think of cursing and profanity, immediately I think of socioeconomic status and class and, or, you know, certain people curse, right? And that reminds me of a quote I once heard. A guy said that a cursing is a weak mind trying to express itself. So what kind of communities do you go to? You know, is it in the inner city, the urban areas? Do you go out to suburbs? Do you go out to suburban churches? What kind of people do you visit?
Everyone. Everyone that's willing to open up their door.
Okay.
So like I said before, I've been questioned about this before, like trying to label me. You can't label Tanya Ellington because Tanya Ellington does not fit under titles. I go to everyone because we're all children of God. I don't care what nationality you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where you live. See, it's accepted in the suburbs because they still know how to change their lingo when they need to go on a job interview, when they have to go for their interview for the school. Our children do not know how to change their lingo because it's now embedded in their wording. They're already stereotyped, truth be told.
Our children meaning who? Our children meaning who? Black children?
Our young African-American, minority children of all races. That,
okay.
You know, so, again, we have to do the right thing by whatever. I mean, real talk, again, we the only race, and I'm going to speak of our race, African-American, black, whatever you want to call yourself, that do
okay.
not do the right thing by our own. Every other race makes sure their children, their community, their people are taken care of. We accept everybody. But we
well,
are not accepted. Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very serious accusation to make, to say that we are the only race of people who do not take care of our children. So I need you to be a little bit more clear on that and what you mean.
Okay. Say, for instance, today in New York, this is the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Uh-huh.
I've seen the Puerto Rican parade, the flags, the unity.
Right.
We have the African-American parade. They have their parade down on Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have ours in Harlem. I have
okay.
participated in two of them. And each one that I participate in, we, our community, started acting, not the participators, but the spectators and those that just wanted to just act up. And it's our event. It's in our community. They have us into where there's a limitation on us because they say we're not going to do, they're not going to act right. And we show them that. So let me get back to why I said what I said in regards to the Puerto Rican Day Parade and Puerto Ricans, and because I'm mixed with Puerto Rican too with my family.
Okay.
And the African American is that they unify with each other. We quit to try to find fault in each other or why I'm not helping Samantha do this because Samantha did it and her mother, and they grew up here. Da-da-da. They don't care. You're hungry? Come and eat. Now, this is today.
Right.
Now, speaking of what it was when our grandmas was in the early 1900s, it wasn't that way.
Okay.
Family united together. We don't do that today.
Right.
So
why do you think that is?
Because the baton's been dropped. It became back onto the self mode. Folks weren't talking about our history. I'm just learning as a grown woman more about my own family history.
Okay.
So, again, it stems to get to the root of the issue is that we have not sat down to tell our children. Well, I'm grown. I'm a mother now, so I talk to my son on a different leverage upon how I was spoken to. I didn't know
okay.
a lot. Okay? Now, what they did back then, as you can probably know within history too, families united together and made sure they took care of everybody within that them families. There was still the village. The village was alive and well. There was the civil rights movement. It was strong. After the 80s, something happened after the 80s, close to the 90s, where things just started turning. Folks got
okay.
selfish, distracted. It's all, oh, my house is taken care of, so I don't have to such and such. But, again, didn't see that the village was being torn apart.
Sure.
So, again, let me make it clear that I'm not downgrading my people. I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But truth be told,
no, I don't,
Bill
I don't.
Cosby speaks the truth. Folks want to say, oh, Bill shouldn't say that. Why not? He's telling
right.
the truth.
He's telling
so
the truth,
how
sure.
you want to get mad at somebody for telling the truth because you don't want to be held accountable for what you're not doing, but you're quick to go
sure.
buy the latest iPod, iPad, the new sneakers for your child. Come on, man. Giving material
right.
things to our kids is not going to help them in the future. And the way we're looking now is dim, but I still have hope.
Sure. We are what Darlene Clark Hines calls a culture of dissemblance, where it's hard for us to air our dirty laundry. So I understand what you're saying. What do you think about the whole crack epidemic and kids sagging pants? Do you, in other words, when you go do your seminars, do you talk about that kind of stuff too?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I talk about everything because, again, I'm an open book. I don't come in
mm-hmm.
there with scriptures or scripts. I come and show and tell my testimony, you know, and I'm grateful for my life journey. All that played a part in watching where you are now. The sagging of the pants, I have said to many of young men that pass by me, you drop something or you got a spot on your back of your underwear and they quick to pull them up. Pull your pants up, man.
There was the event that I did actually somewhere, I forget where I was, and it was a young girl, you know, and she had her pants off her backside. And I was like, excuse me, you have to pull your pants up, young lady. Because no one is talking to them. This is not no fashion. We should. I said to my friend just the other day, they should, the restaurants, just like you can't walk into a restaurant without a shirt on, they should make a statement with posting in restaurants, any public space. You can't walk up in here with your pants hanging off your tail. You got boys and girls doing it, and you got grown folks doing it. So when we're trying to tell our young people, pull your pants up, but meanwhile, Mr. Slick over here, 40-something years old, got his pants hanging down. What are we doing?
Sure.
So we can't tell, we can't tell our children what to do if we're not doing it. Remember growing up? I don't know how old you are, but remember growing up, it was that we learned from example. We wasn't born this way. We learned by what we was around, what was said to us, from the food to the words to the people that our family members, our parents allowed in our space.
Mm-hmm.
Folks are not caring. It's like they seem like they're just having kids today, hon, and just like, you know what? Let the system raise them. After they get a certain age, I'm going to be honest with you, I think it was walking from the store, something I was doing, and this young lady, I heard the song Beyonce, the single ladies, I think it was, put your hand on, put the ring on, and this little girl could not have been no more than 4 years old, and she's singing the lyrics, and I looked at her, and her mother was actually behind her, had the child in front of her, and I was like, where is the caring for our kids?
So let me ask you this. Sure, you did. You did, and you're just so energetic about your mission and your cause. Let me ask you a question, probably a final question. How has the people received you? I mean, what kind of criticisms or adulations have you received from the community, the places you're going to speak?
Well, I've been getting nothing but love when I come, especially from the kids. The health fair that I just did when I was in New York, it touched my heart because the kids that I actually, this is my second time doing the health fair at this high school, and the kids, remember, they came to my table and they were like, oh, Tanya E., you know, we start taming our tongues. And I was like, thank you. And I had some bags. I have a Stop Cussing bag, and on the Stop Cussing bag, I have our logo, and then Change Starts With You. And I had some other promotional items, like a keychain, to give to them, and gift cards from Barnes & Noble. Because our children aren't reading, or if they are, I don't know what they're reading, but at least if they're reading, read. That's another thing. Parents need to take their kids book shopping.
Sure.
But again, so many households, they're not seeing their own parents read. So again, it's still learning by example, you know? So I've gotten, you know, responses of, oh, we need you. And I'm turned around to the parents and say, I need you. You can't put it all on me. I am a mother myself. There are no excuses. I am a single mother of a 13-year-old at that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm out here, like I tell my son, I cannot go outside our house to tell someone else how to do with their children if I'm not doing what I do with mine.
That's right. That's right. And on that note, Ms. Ellington, we're going to end here. And tell us a little bit more about your contact information, how people can reach out to you, where we can get in touch with you, if you have a website, a phone number, or an address or anything. Tell the listening audience.
I can give you the website. The website has the contact information. I'll also give the number. The website is www.stopcussing.com, and the contact number is 718-907-0655.
Great. Thank you for sharing that with us this evening. I want to thank Leslie Gibbs for allowing me to host the show. And on that note, we'll talk to everybody soon. Have a good night.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.